Praise the Lord. This is Evangelist Julius Adewumi of the Gospel Distribution Ministry. Today I would like to talk about the rapture, the coming of the Lord, when he's going to take the Christians away. I believe I talked about this in the last broadcast, and I'm going to continue this description of this narration, and then invite you that have not accepted Jesus yet to think about it and come to Christ today. And you that have accepted Jesus, are you prepared for this coming of the Lord? What is this rapture? What do you mean by a rapture? After we Christians are born again and we are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, he fills us with the Holy Spirit. And only those that are filled and led by the Holy Spirit, those are the children of God, those are they that are his. Now that you have, if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, begin to listen to the Holy Ghost. Let the Holy Ghost lead your life, and he will guide you step by step to grow spiritually. As you mature in the Word of God, study yourself, study the Word of God, study to show yourself approved unto God. Now, after you have been growing, Christ is coming to take away a church that is without spot, without wrinkle, and blameless. He's coming to take away believers that are ready. What do you mean by they are ready? Let's go and read again. Before I go to that Ephesians, let me go read 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. From verse 13, Apostle Paul wrote, he said, "But I will not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." It is this narration here, this story here, this scenario or what we call event that Apostle Paul described in 1 Thessalonians chapter 14, from verse 13 to verse 19 to verse 18. That is the episode that we call the rapture. And listen to it. He said, "Don't be ignorant of those who are asleep in Christ, that you should sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." Which means they are already with God. When they die, their soul is somewhere. Their spirit and soul is somewhere. Their body is resting in a grave, may have been rotting and become just dry bones in those graves. But their spirit and soul is in paradise if they are Christians, born again and saved. And they are with God, where God can see them, in a place called paradise, I believe. That is a spiritual location. It is a spiritual location. They may not be exactly in heaven where God is, but they are in a location where, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and chapter 6, said the souls of them who are beheaded for Christ, who have died in the Lord, they were peeping under the altar. What does that mean? It simply means it's a separate location compared to heaven where God and the throne of Christ was located. So under the altar means it's in a spiritual location, but lower than heaven. But they were able to peep under the altar. And God can see all things anyway. God sees heaven and sees hell also. Now let's go ahead and read what they were doing. The Bible said, "If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him." That is, when God is coming back, when the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back to this earth in the second time, he's going to bring those souls that were already dead and they are living right now in paradise. God is going to bring them back with him. What will happen? "For we say unto you by the word of the Lord that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep." What does it mean by remain unto the coming of the Lord? One thing is that they, in those generations, they thought that persecution was killing many Christians, and they were expecting the Lord to come anytime. That they mean any of us that are left, if we are not going to be killed by all this Roman Empire, we that remain and are not dead, we see Jesus Christ come in the sky. That is why the word "we that are alive and remain" was used. They didn't realize that it would take 2,000 years before even we can think of Christ coming. Okay, now we know that he's coming, and he's coming very soon. He's still coming. We're almost 2,000 years in the Christian race, but Christ is still coming. I believe he's coming, and he can come in this generation. And we that are alive and remain in Christ, we can use this to mean anyone that is still in Christ. I mean, you are born again. We see Christ, and we are alive by the time this particular day occurs. We see Christ come in the sky. So that's what we can interpret it to mean right now. And he said, "We that are alive and remain," in verse 14 and verse 15, "for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now I want you to take note of that, because I'm going to come back to it in a moment. The dead in Christ shall rise first. What does that really mean? It means those graves will be opened. What will you see in a grave if they are open? Bones, dry bones of people that were dead hundreds, tens, thousands of years. God said they will live again. So which means God is going to use those dry bones, those physical bones, will be the ones that God will reuse to bring back a new body to these people that are going to be resurrected. If that is not the case, if there is no need for the bones, then there's no need for the graves to be opened. But God will use those bones again. So think about that. And God has given us a ample example to make us to see that the body will not, even the body that was thrown into the grave, will be reused again. God will make a new body, but those bones that are dried up will be reused again. You say, well, what about those that even their bones were completely burnt up and cremated? Even those ashes will gather together and gather themselves back again. God is able to do it. Because you see the example of that in the book of, I believe, Ezekiel, where he was saying the dry bones came together when God called for them. All bones look for one another as God called for them. So don't be afraid, don't be worried about that. God is almighty. Our God is almighty. He has proved it to us by coming himself and dying on the cross, and he rose again by himself. He took that body out of the grave to show that it is the physical body that will be glorified. You say, well, if their physical body was already rotting in the grave, God will renew it and glorify that body and give them a new body. So they are not just going to be, those who are going to be resurrected will not be spirits, like will be like bubbles of air just floating around. No, they will get a new body. The graves will be opened. There will be a great earthquake that will open up some graves, and those bones will resurrect and join together again, and God will put a new body into them. And they will rise up, and a new body will be given to them that will never die. That is what God intended, and that is the plan of God. And he has given us example. When Christ died, I will go into that in a moment, the body of some saints in Jerusalem was said to rise up with him, and he came into the city. So if they saw the body of some saints, their bones will no more be in those graves. If they rose up and went away with Christ, the bones of those saints will no more be in those graves. I believe that. Because Jesus Christ did not leave his own body in the grave. He took it away. So that is what we are talking about. That is the resurrection. You have to believe resurrection, my friend. If you don't believe in resurrection, you don't believe Christ. You don't believe the gospel. The gospel is completely based on resurrection of the dead. The saints who are dead will be resurrected first. And God has given us that example when he himself rose again from the dead. So you have to remember that. You've got to believe in the resurrection that I'm presenting to you, that the dead will rise again and they will live again on this planet. And we're going to go into that in a moment. But before this takes place, this is what will happen. Before they live again on this planet, Christ will resurrect these dead in Christ. And in verse 17, he said, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. This verse 14 is what we call the rapture. What do you mean by rapture? That is, we that are human beings, that are alive, and we are not dead, we have not put away our body, we have not gone down to the grave, because we are going to be alive until he comes. Suddenly, after the dead in Christ are risen up, the Holy Spirit in us will quicken our body, and we will be changed. And we will just be able to transform, self-transformed, or transfigured, we will just be transfigured and disappear. That is what he meant by we shall be caught up in the clouds. That is something like a cloud will just take us up into the sky. And the process of that to take place in our body is already being done. It's already being worked by the Holy Spirit inside us, inside those that are going with him. So you may say, well, you are a Christian, you are listening to me, you say, well, I don't feel anything, I don't see anything. You won't feel anything unless you are yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit. Unless the Holy Ghost is working this work in you. The Lord is already working this work. That is why he's saying in the Bible, present your body a living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable. God wants to begin to move upon you by the Holy Spirit, so that He can begin to walk in your spirit, so that you, your body will begin to transform from glory unto glory, to holiness first. Because this, our body must be holy. Without holiness, no one shall see the Lord, see the scripture. So the Holy Ghost is beginning to walk in our life. And that is what the Bible is saying to us. That is exactly what the Christian life is all about. The Bible said in Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12, you go there in a moment, I will read it to you, said, and as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Verse 12 of John chapter 1. Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12. He said, but as many as received him, as received Christ, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. What do you mean by they will become the sons of God? Are we not already sons of God? You are given the power, the Holy Spirit power, so that you can become the sons of God. What that means is, our body is to begin, our spirit is to begin to change gradually from glory unto glory in our holiness, in our submissiveness to Christ, to His word, until we become like Christ. When we become as like Christ, that's when we become the sons of God. Because Christ is the manifestation of the Son of God in power, in holiness, and we are to be like Him. And that is what the Bible is saying when it said in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. And let me read it to you in a moment. The book of Ephesians chapter 4. The Bible said God has put in his body, in his church, verse 11 said, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That is, God put all these ministries in the body of believers, in his church, for one purpose. For verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12 said, for the perfecting of the saints. That is, we saints of God have to be perfected. And he said, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That is, all these apostles' ministry, the prophetic ministry, evangelistic ministry, and the pastors and teachers' ministry is to perfect the saints and make this body of Christ to be edified. Verse 13 said, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Knowledge of the Son of God, remember that? We are to become like him, so we have to know him so that we can know how to become. Okay? So, and not unto a perfect man. We are to become a perfect man like Jesus Christ manifested. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is the goal of our Christianity. The goal of our Christian faith is that we should become like Christ individually now. We should become sons of God in power like Christ manifested. We should be a perfect man like Christ was able to control things on this planet. And that is what it means, and to come to the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is our goal as Christians. And how do we do that? How do we get there? Holy Ghost has been given to every individual. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you need to ask Jesus. You have to ask him so that he baptizes you with the Holy Ghost. The Bible says he is to baptize all of us individually with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And after we are given that Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost is to walk this walk gradually. It's not a day's job. It's a lifetime job. It's doing a process that some are running, some are on a race that is faster, some are slow. But he wants to bring all of us to that stature of Christ. And would you like to come to that stature of Christ? Keep on listening to these exhortations and begin to do the exhortations and the admonitions and begin to and to read your Bible and submit to the Holy Ghost. Submit yourself, submit your will to the will of God. Don't try to wrestle some of the things God wants you to drop. That is what it means to submit your will to God. And this is the plan of God, that we should all come to this fullness of the stature of Christ. And you know that some people will not get to that fullness of Christ till before they die. So that is why sometimes Christ will resurrect the spirit and give them a new body. But we are all commanded that is our goal, to come to that fullness of the stature of Christ. But there will be some that will come to that stature of Christ before they leave this planet. And that is the group that is called the first fruits of the God. And the Bible called them the man child in the book of Revelation chapter 12 that was born out of this end time church. And this mystery group of people will be just major believers that are growing spiritually unto that stature of Christ. And Christ said he will get these first fruits because it is it's mandatory for God to get that first fruits of the harvest of this planet Earth. And you see that in the book of Revelation chapter 14, that these first fruits that are redeemed from man from the earth, they follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. That shows that they are completely lined up with Christ and being submissive to him, to hear him and follow him, to hear what he says and obey and do it. That is the yieldedness state that we are talking about. And that is the stature of a perfect man, the stature of Christ, the stature of a yielded vessel to Christ, the stature of a yielded vessel. Because when we say we want to come to the stature of Christ, what does that really mean? Remember whom Christ is. When he manifested on earth, he came as the Lamb of God. A lamb that was as slain means that this lamb is a full sacrifice. And that is why the Bible says we are also to yield ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God. And you see, it's not easy because we have to be, our flesh constantly rebel against what God wants. So we have to be completely crucified with Christ. We have to be completely surrendered our life and ourselves to him so that we can be a yielded vessel. I remember a minister that said, what mankind will see when God can find a fully yielded vessel. God will be able to channel his power through that vessel, and mankind will have not seen a yielded vessel yet. Only Christ manifested a yielded vessel. And God is looking for yielded vessels, and at this end time he will find some. And in fact, he called them 144,000 first fruits that God said he will find at the end of time, and they will be yielded vessels to Christ. God will manifest his power, and when that is done, then the rapture can take place. But God must get those first fruits out of this planet as the first ripened fruits that are fully yielded to God, fully yielded to the Holy Spirit. And that is what God is working out in believers. So you can see that if you are far away from that, to that fullness, you begin to run the race. Begin right now to run the race. Cry unto Christ and say, Lord, I want to yield my vessel to thee, so that you can use my arm as you will, you can use my mouth as you will, and use my feet as you will. Will you be yielded to Christ? When he wants you to stand up and preach, will you be afraid to preach or shy to preach? Then you are not yielded vessel. You see what I mean? When he wants you to sip it and don't respond to somebody, will you be able to control your temper as the Holy Ghost wants? Or are you going to say, I cannot take this, I'm going to reply, I'm going to blow up, I'm going to retaliate? If you are still going to retaliate contrary to the word of God, contrary to the instruction that comes to your spirit, then you are still not a yielded vessel. You see what I mean? So when we say yielded vessel, God wants that complete yieldedness, complete surrender of your will, of your rights. Don't fight for your rights. Let God fight for you. Follow the scripture that said, if they slap you on the right cheek, turn the other also. See, that would be like a fool. Yes, Christ said, be a fool for Christ. You see, now when we say yielded vessel to God, it means a lot. Yet it's so simple. But it takes the Holy Ghost to make all those nerves, all those emotions to be submitted, to be crucified under Christ, so that only Christ can rouse it up, not you, not the world from the outside, not what somebody did to you, not what somebody has tried to do to you, but only God can rouse up that emotion in you when you are fully yielded. And that is what God is looking for. And when we become a full lamb for God also, that is when we come to the stature of Christ. Remember, why was Christ called the Lamb of God? And not a goat, and not even a big sheep, called a lamb. Because the lamb, just like the sheep, is a very vulnerable animal, and they look like foolish. They will follow their shepherd wherever the shepherd leads. That's a sheep. But the lamb is even smaller and more vulnerable, because the lamb cannot even do anything by itself. The lamb follows the mother sheep, and the mother sheep is following the shepherd, whether to the water or whether to the grass, where the grass is green. God, and remember, when the Holy Ghost came upon the Lord Jesus Christ when he was being baptized, the Bible said, like a dove, he landed upon the Lord Jesus Christ in that vision that John the Baptist perhaps alone saw. Now, That was a perfect, submissive, submitted lamb. That's why God used the word lamb. That is, he was so gentle that the Holy Ghost, like a bird, can land and rest upon him. Now, if you are a goat, you will shake him off. Think of a bird landing upon a goat. That goat will shake him off. And that is why he used the symbol of a dove landing upon a lamb. Even the lamb that is the smallest of the sheep of the flock, of the sheepfold. So God is asking you to be completely surrendered of your will to him, so that he can use you. He can use your mouth and use your hand and use your feet. See, God, mankind has not seen a yielded vessel yet. When they see a yielded vessel that is yielded to God totally, God will show wonders again, like he showed through the Messiah. And God is promised that at this same time, he will see a group of first fruits unto himself. 144,000 was earmarked in the book of Revelation chapter 14. And that is what the old mankind has been waiting for. According to the scriptures, in the book of Romans, it said, the old heart groaneth and waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. That manifestation is what we are talking about when we say the first fruit will manifest when God has gotten the number 144,000 and has gotten all of them come to that fullness of the stature of Christ. God will show forth his power in this world in a mighty revival that will cover the whole world. Man, think of 144,000 prophets of God all over the world at the same time, and all yielded to God, and Holy Ghost using them as he will, and then the rapture can take place. That is what is coming to happen. Now, I just gave you a scenario of that, and now let me go ahead and read. Like I said, let me go ahead. Now, I said in 1 Thessalonians that the rapture is coming. And yes, if the rapture is coming to happen, the dead in Christ will rise up first, and we that are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Now, we can say that the first fruits must be manifested before this rapture takes place. And then when the rapture takes place, we believe that both the first fruits will go up first, or the rest of the people that were revived, that were all within, God will do something to take all that are his soul also away from here. But the Bible makes sure that the first fruits will go, and at least if we are guaranteed that if anybody is going to be raptured, those believers, first fruits will be raptured. Now the rest of the believers also will be raptured, we believe. And yet, it's going to be after the manifestation of those sons of God. After that revival. The revival is to quicken the rest of the people, because the revival does something to the body of Christ. It rises up people unto faith. It gears them up to prepare, to watch, to look unto Jesus Christ, to look for Jesus. And the Bible said, as many as look for him, to them will he appear the second time without sin unto glory. So that is why we believe after that revival of the first fruits has manifested, and maybe for a few years, and it's worldwide, believers will be getting more faith, and some will grow up faster too. They may not come to that stature yet, but Christ then will manifest the rapture. And we believe that will take place around this time. And there will also be persecution after this manifestation of these first fruits. There will be persecution of the believers, because when mighty miracles are happening, you have to remember, when Christ manifested, there was persecution against Christ also. When he did great wonderful miracles, when the Lord Jesus Christ was walking upon the earth, the Pharisees, the priests, and the chief priests, they were angry at it. And when the miracle became mightily escalated, he raised up Lazarus 4 days in the grave. Now they were really furious. And they said, we have to get rid of him, because a lot of people will go after him. You see what I mean? Persecution will always follow a mighty wave of God, of the movement of God. So don't think the mighty revival will make everybody be saved. A lot of people will be saved. Many people will turn to Christ, but the unbelievers and the religious folks will rise up against it and say, this is devil doing this thing, just like they did about Christ. They said it was Beelzebub that was doing those wonderful miracles. But if you that have been listening to me, have been following this message that I'm preaching, they are run into the shelter when you see mighty power of God being manifested. If you have not surrendered yet, better surrender to Christ and let Christ fill your heart with himself, so that you can be ready for this rapture. Because after that mighty wave of revival will be the rapture. Or during the wave of revival will be the rapture. Only those who are being revived by that revival are guaranteed to escape and go in the rapture and go with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because after that rapture, terrible things will begin to happen upon the earth. And in fact, those who are in the borderline that do not go in the rapture will be the foolish virgins that will feel the wrath of the Antichrist, the wrath of real persecution from the Antichrist, the world system, the world governmental system that will persecute the rest of the people that still try to claim the name of Jesus or they still try to believe God. Now, let's go on because we are running out of time right now. I'm going to talk more on this in the next broadcast. But what we have talked so far is there will be resurrection, the first fruits first, and then we that are alive and we remain will be caught up with them in the air to meet the Lord in the clouds. We'll be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And for this to take place, part of the requirement is that God is raising up first fruits that will cause the revival. And the revival of the first fruits, during that time of revival, the first will be this rapture. So do you want to be partakers of this? Do you want to be ready when Christ calls? You have to begin to listen to exhortations like this that I'm giving to you and begin to do something. Begin to pray. Begin to fast once in a while. Begin to study the word of God and begin to look up unto Jesus. Repent from sin. If you are still not a Christian, accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. Let him come into your heart and fill you with the Holy Ghost. And if you are a Christian that is listening to me, maybe you have been lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, or you don't even know most of those things because you have not been searching the scriptures. It is time for you to dip your mind and your nose into the Bible and begin to study the New Testament and fast and pray as you study. That is, the scripture says, study to show yourself approved unto God. I mean, let this be more than your precious meat. Let the word of God, the studying of the word of God, be more unto you. Like David the king said, he said, your word is more to me than my precious meat. That is, don't let it be more unto you. Let it be your desire. The Bible said, they that are abiding in the spirit of Most High, they let the word of God be their meat day and night. He said, in his law does he meditate day and night. You have to meditate in the word of God day and night. Then you are blessed. So that is what I'm trying to make you to see. That is, begin to be aspire in your heart to want to be one of the first fruits. Aspire in your heart to want to become one of the sons of God that will come to the fullness of the stature of Christ. Aspire. That desire must be hunger must be in your heart that will drive you to pray, that will drive you to avoid sin, that will drive you to fast occasionally, because the Bible will say without fasting and prayer some demons cannot go away. And even those demons that are oppressing you, that are not wanting you to do those things, they need to go away. You've got to fast and pray to get rid of them. You have to understand what I'm saying. That is, fasting has a lot to do to keep your body under your spirit. And what did we say? We are to surrender our body unto Christ. Surrender our will to Christ. And that is what is the problem of many mankind, of many people. To surrender our will and not be wrestling our desire for this worldly pleasure with God. When God wants you to drop something, you drop it. When God wants you to surrender your lifestyle, surrender it to him. That is what we are talking about. And I'm going to pray for you right now. If you have not accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior yet, say, Jesus, come into my heart. I want to be one of the first fruits. I want to be one of the first fruits that are reaped, that are harvested from the earth, where Christ shall be harvesting the world. I want to go with you in the rapture. Accept me as I accept you as your Lord, as my Lord and Savior today. I accept you as my Lord and Savior today, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Father, I pray for all those people that are listening in the radio land. Touch them right now, Jesus. Let them feel the impact of this prayer. Let their sins be washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. And let the anointing of the Holy Ghost sweep over them in the name of Jesus Christ. And let them feel the anointing, the baptism of the Holy Ghost in their heart right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive you the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. And from today, sin no more. You can get our writings also on the internet at www.gospeldistribution.org. gospeldistribution.org. You can send us email also on the internet and we shall be sending you some reply. God bless you. Jesus is coming soon. Amen.